I appreciate the opportunity to speak for you this evening. And I want to talk for a few minutes this evening about a topic that's the goal of every Christian. You know, as in our individual lives on this earth, we have lots of individual goals and things that we aspire to do. But there's really only one ultimate goal of a Christian, and that's to go to heaven. So what I want to talk to you for a few minutes this evening is about the characteristics and the beauty of heaven and some general descriptions that we find about heaven. As we said before, it's the ultimate goal of every Christian to go to heaven. It's described as a place of rest. It's also described as paradise, and we all kind of have in our own minds what the idea of paradise, and this is far beyond what we can imagine in our minds. It's the dwelling place of God. That's the most important thing about heaven, is God is there. And it's eternal. It will be there forever. So why spend time looking at and contemplating heaven? Well, I think it's good to do that from time to time. For several reasons, I believe it's uplifting to think about the wonderful reward we have in heaven. I think it provides us comfort. It's comforting to know that there will be this reward in heaven. It gives us hope. And I think one thing, even Carl mentioned it this morning, how difficult things get on this earth and how difficult our circumstances are. We all know, and it's great to know, that there's a wonderful reward waiting for us in heaven. Again, Carl mentioned the circumstances in the Philippines. And so how wonderful it is to know that this is truly not our home, but our home is in heaven. And I believe it's a motivation to keep us and help us to remain faithful, that if we finish the race, that we know we're going to have that reward. It's in heaven. So tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to look at how heaven, specifically how heaven is described. And I want to use some of the language that's used in some of our familiar songs that we sing. And I also want to look at it from the aspect of what the Scripture has to say about heaven. So do we know exactly how heaven's going to be? Well, no, I don't think we do. Does the Bible give us a lot of detailed information about what heaven's going to be like? Well, no, it doesn't. And there's a good reason for that, which kind of comes to this third question. Are we fully able to understand and appreciate what heaven will be like? And I don't believe we are. We are physical creatures of this earth, and I don't believe we're equipped to comprehend the things and exactly how heaven is going to be. So we're given lots of metaphors and figurative language that are used to help describe heaven for us in earthly means, to help give us, I think, a basic understanding of just how wonderful heaven's going to be. So first of all, I wanted to look at how heaven is described in some of the hymns and some of the songs that we sing from time to time from our songbook. There are, if you look in the topical index in the end of the songbook, the one that we use, there are 66 songs listed there under the topic of heaven. I went through all 66 of those songs and kind of narrowed that down to about 20 songs. Before you get too upset about that, I further narrowed that down because I knew I wasn't going to have time to talk about 20, and I narrowed that down to 7 of songs that had descriptions that I thought were interesting to look at. And before I go through these songs, obviously these songs were written by men. These were not inspired men. These were just normal men like men and women like you and I. But they are based on some biblical references. So I'm going to put up each one of these songs, the title of the song, and then under the song there will be some of the phrases that are used in that song to help describe heaven. The first one is the wonderful city of God, and it's described in the song as a garden of rest, one celestial, unbroken, sweet day, where no evil to us can befall, no sorrow shall invade, our loved ones no more there shall die, and the glory of God is the light. And so how wonderful it is from these references to know how wonderful heaven is going to be, and we'll see this in these other six songs that I'm going to go through. 258 is Home of the Soul, and it says, there we shall rest, a place of rest, and we'll mention that here in a minute. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there, and He is the light. Beautiful home of the ransomed, beside the crystal sea. Number 220 is No Night There. It's the land of fadeless day. It will never pass away. Gates of pearl, street of gold. The Lamb is all the light. There is no death, no pain, nor fears. 227 is There is a Habitation. It says no wars nor desolations. There's no night there. We've seen that in several of the songs. No sorrow, no death, nor decay. No yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. Angelic armies sing. Beyond This Land of Parting describes it as a summer land of bliss, fair and bright, where is no night, and God is its light. How beautiful heaven must be. No wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light forever there shining, angels so sweetly singing, home of the happy and free, a fair haven of rest. And finally, 195, which is Beyond the Sunset, a blissful morning, no clouds will gather, no fears annoy, a day of gladness, a day unending, a glad reunion, and eternal joy. How wonderful these figures are in these songs that tell us what a wonderful place heaven's going to be. So what does the Scripture have to say about heaven? As we mentioned in one of the questions, there's not a lot of detailed information in the Scripture, but we wanted to look at how heaven is described. Over in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, talks about no pains of earthly life, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. It's a place of rest, and we saw that in several of the songs, a place of rest. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. It's a place of perfect safety. In Revelation 21 and 25, it talks about the gate, a place where the gates will never be closed. And the cities, in that day and time, when the gates were closed, that was because to protect itself from enemies that would be attacking. Well, there would be no time of siege in heaven. All the enemies would have been defeated. So a place of perfect safety. It's described as paradise. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Well, It's described as having access to the water of life and the tree of life. Over in Revelation 22, and in verses 1 and 2, it says, "And he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit." And I think this reminds us of what was available to man in the Garden of Eden that would have enabled him to live forever, back in Genesis chapters 2 and 3 there. The beauty of heaven, this primarily comes from Revelation 21, verses 18 through 27, and I'm going to read that account for you, using some very figurative language here, talking about what I believe to be heaven. Starting in verse 18, it says, "And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th thist. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the city of the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there is no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Again, I think the message in these figures, again, very figurative language, using in some cases very ornate physical descriptions, is that heaven is really more beautiful than even our minds can imagine. It talks about a wall of jasper there in verse 8. A city of pure gold, like clear glass, verse 18. A foundation of every kind of precious stone, verses 19 and 20. The 12 gates were 12 pearls in verse 21. And the street of the city is pure gold like transparent glass in verse 21. The Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple in verse 22. God illumines it, verse 23. There is no night there in verse 25. And only those there who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in verse 27. So most importantly, God is there. God is in heaven. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will have everlasting life in the presence of God. There are many references talk about our eternal, having eternal life. John 3:16 there says, it's a passage that's very familiar to us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life." It's a reward for the faithful. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It's a reunion. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 18, we read about the coming of our Lord. Now, I'll read that passage starting in verse 13. It says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Talks about being reunited with saints who have gone before, that we will meet the Lord in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. And we should comfort one another with these words. So in summary, the lesson that I had this evening was intended to be one that was encouraging and uplifting, that specified and showed some of the descriptions of heaven and how beautiful and glorious our reward in heaven is going to be. So I wanted to leave you with two thoughts at the end of this. The first one is heaven's going to be wonderful. We've seen that in several of the songs that we specified and from the scripture. Heaven is going to be even more magnificent and more wonderful than we can imagine, and God is going to be there and is there. And the second point is, if you miss heaven with all the goals and all the accomplishments you make in this life, you've missed it all.